Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We're still trying to figure out what on earth is going on in the Iranian conflict. What was yesterday all about? Was it about Iran trying to save face? And what is Trump saying? He's going to wipe them off the face of the earth or something like that. I don't know. I get every time he says something dramatic, I think that's when he really doesn't mean it. But let's speak to somebody who is following this as well, very closely from Israel. Ariel Whitman, editor of the op-ed section, reporter for Globes. A very good morning. Thank you for joining us. Can you help us try and understand where this conflict is at? So many of us now trying to figure out, is this going back to war? Yeah. Is this just hype and talk? Take us through it.
Well, for the United Arab Emirates yesterday, it wasn't all talk. They got hit with nine missiles.
True.
One drone hit a factory and injured a bunch of people. Oman was hit. A building got hit by either a missile or a drone. I guess we'll know today exactly what was hit. But I think we have to put on the table what exactly is happening now before we understand what might happen later. What's happening now is that the Iranians are losing about, according to estimates, $200 million a day. They don't have money to pay IRGC members now of the rank and file. The economy's bleeding. People don't have money for food. Like I said, they don't have money to pay their own soldiers. And so when that happens, we've heard rumors of them being worried of protests in the streets. But even if there are no protests back in the streets, the economy cannot survive like that. And they're about to lose their oil because they have nowhere to store it. And their storage facilities are about to be 100% capacity. And then once that happens, they'll have to find a way to let go of some of their oil. And that can either be, there's been rumors that they want to just burn it somewhere in the sea or just, you know, spill it somewhere or something because they need somewhere to store their oil. And no one's buying it because the Americans are blocking any ships leaving or coming into Iran. And so they find themselves in a very weird, a very bad place. I would say before we get to what might happen is that the media narrative is very weird. As someone who reads and watches American media a little bit, if you watch American media, you would think Iran is winning.
Yes.
And you would also think that so if we take aside internal pressures in America, political, media, we're coming up to an election in November, the midterms. If we take aside all that, America is winning. The Iranians are on the brink of being totally demolished economically and not being able to survive as they did until now. But we always have to put in mind that the president is being Trump is being pressured internally to finish this up as soon as possible because he wants his party to have a shot of not being demolished in the midterms. They're going to lose. The question is just by how much. And so that plays a big role in how fast things are going, because I assume if there wasn't an election coming up, he would have way more patience and slowly grind the Iranians out and basically torture them until they give in to all his demands. But because internally it's problematic, that's where we are right now. The Iranians are lashing out because they feel like they're being choked. And so they want Trump to respond. They want this to go back to a war where they can maybe, you know, kill some Americans, use for some propaganda, maybe force Trump's hand somewhere to give in something. Because what's happening now is they're being killed slowly and gracefully, quote unquote.
Yes.
And so that's where we are. The UAE, by the way, is interesting because they've been aligned with Israel very much so. The missile defense systems that helped them defend themselves yesterday were Israeli, were run by Israelis on the ground in the UAE. This was reported by CNN and other organizations. Israel has sent them Israeli missile defense systems operated by Israelis on UAE territory, which is an amazing thing if you think about it. An Arab country not too long ago had no relations with Israel. Now they're so friendly with us that we're actually helping them man missile defense systems. So where are we going from here? I think that there's two options. Number one is that we get some sort of a deal because Trump wants to finish this fast, then he'll save face somehow. That can happen, although that would be a big loss, because why wait it out until now if that's where you're going? The second option, which I think is probably more likely, is that we're going to go to some sort of military escalation, whether it's full-on military like we saw during the 40-plus days that we had here. I'm not sure. It depends on what Trump wants to get out of it. Or we'll go to some military intervention where he tries pushing them to do a deal, so it'll be slowly escalating, you know, attacking different infrastructures of government and stuff like that to try pushing them into a deal. And as they say no, ramping up the pressure. So I think that's where we are. And if you're in Israel like me, that means we'll probably be going up and down to the bomb shelter sometime soon. I think we should all be mindful that that's where we're probably heading, because it can't be dragged on too long from both sides, the Americans on the political level and the Iranians on the economic level. So I think we're heading towards some sort of a collision.
So the fact that that Trump is using such extreme or aggressive language, to me, that I've always noticed that as a pattern for things that when things don't happen. In other words, the more dramatic his statements and threats are, the less likely there is to be of an escalation. Do you think I'm wrong in this particular case?
I don't know. There are sometimes that he speaks in very harsh language, and it did happen. For example, if you remember, there was the protests in Iran, and he kept on saying, like, if they hang the people, we're going to do something. And he was speaking, he was very, very, very harsh language and very extreme language. And then America and Israel did attack Iran. I don't know. I would just say, in terms of Trump's rhetoric, we've been here at this point for over a decade with Trump in our lives. And I think that we should always take in mind his actions rather than his words, because he'll just say in the same day, 3-4 different things that just don't make sense with each other. They can't live in the same room. And I would, you know, we just have to take it. That's the personality, and that's where we're at, that we should listen to what he does and what the policy is. A lot of times I'll say one thing and then I'll do the exact opposite or vice versa. I just tend to look at, first of all, what his people are saying and what the actions on the ground. We're seeing a large buildup of troops in the area. We see the economic pressure. The American Treasury is seizing Iranian assets all over the world and freezing bank accounts and sanctioning different people that work with Iran. And so that is squeezing them on the one side. The blockade of the Iranian boats and ships coming in and out of Iran is working. And that's why you would assume, just that logically, that the Iranians feel a need to lash out somehow, because nothing's working for them. And they need money. And so if they don't have money, they know they'll collapse at some point. And so I think that's just logically, I think that's where we are.
So in your view, are we going back to Israel closed airspace, schools going remote? Is that how you foreseeing the next couple of weeks?
I don't know. I really hope not, because I have 3 little kids and I can't take it anymore.
You, because you've described on radio how you don't have a mamad in your apartment, and your wife and your 3 kids in the middle of the night schlepping all the way downstairs. And I often think of you. I think that is torturous.
Yes, it was horrible. And my job even said, you know, we'll give you money for rent, go find a place. And we were looking, and there's literally nowhere. Everyone's looking for apartments with the safe room, and there was thousands of people. It wasn't something that can be done. And so I really hope we don't, just on a personal level, but on a more national level, I think there's a good chance. Yeah, I think there's a good chance we're going there. We should also put in mind that in the north, people still aren't at school. Hezbollah is still, there's officially, quote unquote, a ceasefire. but it's not really being kept by the other side. And so, you know, yesterday Israel bombed a bunch of places in southern Lebanon in response to the Hezbollah shooting rockets and drones and fire bombs at Israel. So I think we'll just have to, like, live with this. I hope for not a long time. Like I said, I think it'll probably be – it'll start off as something that probably will be meant to be short-term to push them to the bargaining table. Whether they take it up or not, that's the question. We're not dealing with a rational player here, because if they were rational, they would go to a deal, save their economy, save their – institutions, you know, save their lives, of their people, of their, if they don't care about the people, of their own government people. But they're not, it doesn't seem, and I think it's obvious that they're not rational, and they think they're on the upper hand winning, because they don't care about their people. So in in their point of view, they're winning right now just by surviving, and so they'll continue doing
and
what
they still
do.
Have the enriched uranium, which to me is probably the most crucial part of this whole story.
Yes, which is why if Trump wouldn't be restrained by politics and the election coming up, he would, the logical thing for America to do is just to continue this blockade until they don't have any money and they're forced to give up. Because even if you're so radical and so extreme, if you don't have money to pay salaries to your soldiers, you might just give up to save power. But I'm not sure that he has the political time to do that. So that's where we are from both sides.
Ariel Whitman, that was a fascinating, fascinating insight, and really does give explain a lot of the moving parts here, which creates a lot of this complexity. Ariel Whitman is the editor of the op-ed section, a reporter for Globes, talking to us from Israel.